Kum lerna bar gemara. This is Monday's gemara. Daf pei amud aleph, beis sivan. So we're continuing on the different shiurim that one has to carry before you're liable and bring a karma chatas. The next one is dioy ink, kedei lichtu to write two oisius. Tana, we learned shtei oisius b'dioy. We learned two letters when it comes to ink. That's the shiur of ink that you're not allowed to carry. We're talking about dry ink and shtei oisius b'kulmus, and also two letters with the quill. And shtei oisius and two letters b'kalorin with an inkwell. So they always that's the case that you hold, the ink in. And they always have to have the same amount of two letters. So now we have a number of questions that Rava asks, and he does it from time to time. He has a number of interesting gibayas. Rava asked, what about ois achas b'dioy and ois achas b'kalmus? You have a little bit of dry ink and a little bit on your quill. Each one has a letter. Do they combine? Or and ois achas b'kalmus, mau, do they combine? Teku. It's a take. Do we start off or not? So it's a teku. Now the question now is, if you're carrying the quill or you're carrying the inkwell, that in itself is already a shear. Who cares about the ink? So we're going to learn later on that if you carry a keli, and inside the keli is something pachas mikashir, and the purpose of carrying the keli is for whatever the contents are inside the keli, then the keli becomes bottle or tuffle to whatever's inside, and if what's inside is less than a shear, then you're not chayiv on Shabbos. So here also the inkwell or the quill you're carrying for the ink, and therefore you're not chayiv. That's the question, whether they're mitzalef or not, the different kinds of ink. Omar Rav has another question. What about hoitzi shtei oisis? You carry two letters on Shabbos, because when he started to write kishum halach, while you're walking chayiv, you are chayiv. Why are you chayiv? You're chayiv for carrying as well. Why you're chayiv? Because ksivasan, writing them, is zuhi hanachasan. So you didn't stop to rest. So when we learned in the beginning that if your body stops, hanachas gufay is you're chayiv. That's considered hanacha. And here you're chayiv because you are writing on the piece of paper and for the ink. That's the hanacha for the ink, even though you're continuing to walking, but the ink has rested. Okay, so now it says Rava, hoitzi ois achas v'kosa. What have you write? One letter. You take out one letter and you carry. Remember, carrying you have to have hanacha. And we're talking about a case where there's no hanacha because you continue walking till the end of Shabbos. But you wrote it down. That's sufficient hanacha for ink. Because that's where its resting place is. Doesn't matter where the paper ends up. What happens if hoitzi ois achas? He took out one letter because he wrote it down. The bechaz of hoitzi ois achas. He wrote another letter because he made two separate hoitzas. Each one's only one letter. Do they combine? Potter, you are potter. Why potter? Why shouldn't they combine? Because ink, after you write it, first it's very wet. And that's the shear, right? But then it dries. And while it's drying, part of it is evaporating. So by the time you're going to write the second letter, part of the first letter, which you did earlier, evaporated. So you no longer have the share of full two oisius. My time of why? Be eaten of the afkele basraisa. When you took out the second one, chasol le l'shir le kamaisa. He was missing the share of the first one. V'omar Rava, another din says Rava, hoitzi chatzi gregeris ach. Remember, we learned before that carrying a Shabbos is the size of a dried fig. So what happened? You carried a half a fig, the hinicha, and you put it down. Then the chozav, hoitzi chatzi gregeris ach. Then you went out and you carried another half a dried fig, the hinicha, and you put it down. So you did two half shiurim separate times. Is the rishoina nase kemoisha kol tekelev oishanisva upata. We can imagine the first half was swallowed by a dog or got burnt. In other words, when you put the second half down there, the first half is still not there in existence, you are not chayiv. You are potter, because you don't have a full shear. The question is why Hamancha is still sitting there. Hachikama, he missed that part of the question. This is what the scenario was. So you carried outside a half a gregis, you put it down. And then you picked it up and put it aside, and then you went out and took out another half a gregis. So when you took out the second half of Gregor, the first one was no longer in its original place. Nas is Rishoina Kemisha Niklata Shenisifa. It says the first one was captured, caught by somebody else, or was burnt, caught by a dog, or was burnt Upata Yapata. Next day, in Mama Rava Hoitzi Chatzi Gregor, he took out a half of Gregor and he placed on the ground. And then V'choza V'hoitzi Chatzi Gregor, he took out another half of Gregor, and you carried right over it, Chayiv V'chayiv, because they combined. Ay V'amai Haloi Noch, he didn't rest, he just passed it by. You carried it within three tefachim, and therefore it's as if it's rested, could be say loved. Taisa already says there's no reason why you have to actually carry it over the original. If you carried a half a gregdus and still there, then you carry another half a gregdus within three tvachim of the ground, so it's like hanachar. So you chayiv. Why even say derech halah? So either because there's some derech agav, because that's the expression where later on we talk about it, or to tell you a chiddush, that if it's three tvachim from the piece that's lying on the ground, even though it's three and a half tvachim, let's say, from the ground itself, we're going to say lavud and they combine. And that's the chiddush. Says you want it further. But that's the question. Doesn't Rava say that even that according to Rabbanu don't believe in klut the commercial hunch, you know, like Rabbi Kiva said, when you throw something from one shush to another and goes to another shush. Says if it landed, because sitting on the pocket of ear, it's as if it's resting. The Rabbanu don't believe in klut the commercial hunch. And they say the only time you're chayiv is if it sort of stopped, even on the peg, it stopped somewhere and rested. Has to rest on the mashu. It has to be even within gimbal from the ground. It still has to rest. You don't need a dalad or dalad, but you need at least a mashu. It has to rest. And here you're just passing by. Like kasha. It's not a question. There is talking about bezoidik. When you throw it, it has to rest on a mashu. And here we're talking about mavir. You're carrying it in your hand. And because it's in your hand becomes like stationary and attached to the ground. And therefore, your hand is what makes it as if it rested. So your hand also mokum anocha. Okay, that explains the Rashi and Bob Master. Anyhow, Tana Rabbah, we learned. Hoitzi chatzi gregris. Let's say you carried outside a half a gregris, a half a dried fig, v'chazav, a hoitzi chatzi gregris. And then you carried out another half a gregris, behelem echad, in one forgetfulness. Chayiv, you were chayiv. Because they both combined, so you did a full melacha, on one forgetfulness, you chayiv. B'shtei ha'lomis potter. But if you did it in two ha'lomis, you are potter. Right, so if you did, then you know you forgot, and you did a half a grade, then you remembered, and then you forgot again. So it's two separate activities; they don't combine. Rabbi Yosi says that even helam echad, you know, when you chayiv the reshus echad, if it's only from one reshus, knows you went from reshus yochid from your house to the street, and you did it twice, so you're chayiv, right, in one forgetfulness. Abelishtei reshuyis potter. If you look at the picture on the Gemara on your right side, you see if you have, let's say, you went from your house, the Shush Rabim in front of one house, the other side is a house, the Shush Rabim, then in between, you have, let's say, a Shush Yochid. We'll see the three kinds of possibilities, the Yochid, a Kamlis, or a Pisla, a piece of wood, which is less than 4x4, which is a Makom Tur. So if you, first time, took it from one house into the Shush Rabim, and then on the other time, you took from the other house to the Shush Rabim, since in between there's a Shush Yochid in between, it's like two, that divides the two houses, you cannot combine the two half malachas. Potter, you are potter. When do we say it's a divider? If there's a chiv chatzah, no, there's a shus yochid in between the two of them. Our karmel is like, karmel is not considered a divider because it's only the shus midrabon. Abaya, but I feel the karmel is. Abaya says that even a karmel is also a divider. Our pisul like, but a makom tur is not a divider. A piece of wood that's lying across the whole shus rabim, but it's less than 4x4. But Rav Amar, I feel a pisla. Rav says no, even a pisla divides. Why? Because all the Rav Tameid, Amar Rav the Shus Shabbos Keshus Gittin Dami. When a person wants to give a get to his wife and in his own house, and she has to have a Shus, he has to give her over the Shus. But if she's standing there in the courtyard to accept it and landed on a pisla, which is another Shus altogether, since he did not give it to her, she is not divorced. So we see that pisla is a Shus, and therefore it's a divider. Machlekes Rabbi and Rava, whether a makom tur reshus can be explained, what exactly is a chakira? What exactly is a makom tur? Is a makom tur the pshat is it's nothing, or the pshat it's a reshus, but a reshus that's potter. No, it's a proactive potter, or it's just because there's no reshus at all. Rava says mefedish it is a reshus, but it's a reshus. It's a reshus that potters, but it's a reshus, and therefore it divides. A bayol the makom tur means that it's nothing. It's not a reshus at all. So therefore, there's nothing there to divide. So here's clear the machlekes. It's a chakira, and I've never seen them putting together with this Gemara here, but it seems clear that's what the Gemara is trying to do. That's a machlek, it's a bayi v'rova. How do we identify, or how do we describe a mokum p'tur? So the Gemara writes here, choyl to paint, how much could they lichol ayin achas? Enough for makeup to put on one eye. Says the Gemara, ayin achas ole kochli. One eye doesn't do it. Who goes around and paints only one eye? So the choyl on Shabbos, if somebody carries that particular kind of makeup, it'll be only to paint both eyes. So the choyl, anything less than both eyes, you should be chayv on Shabbos. I'm going to wonder, she can't snuas, koichles, ayin achas. The snuas only do one eye. Rashi said, snuas, excuse me, shaholchis mutafas. They go with a wrapped around the head partially as well. Ain megalas elainachadi. We are only one eye exposed. Lidos, in order they can see. The koichles ice in the painted. So this is not like the hijab, which we learned a few last week, where, you know, in those countries where they wear that, that's the dress. Here we're talking, about advazdan. Here we're talking about something else. So it seems that one eye they're completely covered, like half the face is completely covered, and the other eye they used to see. And they can see, but it was just not just the eyes, but more than the eyes, so therefore they wanted to wear some kind of a makeup. Just wondering, if they were tznuas, and they're so concerned about tznuas, they think they'll put on makeup on their eye. But the Gemara says further, Meisvei Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, Kechoil, paint. Im therefore they do it, some kind of paste there for medicinal purposes, Kedei L'chlai Nachas, then even one eye, that's what's necessary. But Im L'kashet, if it's about putzenzich, for makeup, the base line, two eyes. So it's clear, two eyes. So how come this is one eye? Says you want to targ my hilbrei Rav Shimon ben Achmeini, Kitan Yahi, that's talking about Be'ironius. When do we say two eyes is in the villages? But in the large cities, it's only one eye. And look at Rashi here, because it's a fascinating Rashi. Be'ironius, near the bottom, about 10 lines from the bottom. What do you mean the villages? Why in the villages are a lot of women have both eyes exposed? And in the cities, they were more machmeh, they only had one eye exposed, the women. Says Rashi, B'nois kfarim, the girls in the villages, Einon tzriches tznius kolkach. There, you didn't have to do so much tznius. You didn't have to practice tznius to such a large extent. Why not? Here he says villages, other places, Rashi says even cities, but not very large cities. She'ein schoik v'kalus reish motzi sham. They're not so frivolous over there. There aren't too many people there. The einon mechasim einim pneim, they don't cover their faces, they don't wear the hijabs. This is a fascinating and important Rashi. So Rashi seems clearly here that we had more brachas a lot about this, that there's two kinds of laws of tznius. There are absolute laws and there are relative laws. The absolute laws are immutable, and wherever you are, doesn't matter where you are, you know, we learn you have to cover certain parts of your body, a woman to cover her hair, and the thighs and all that. That is absolute laws. Then you have relative laws, depending where you live and depending the behavior of the people, what you have to wear. So like we had in countries where everybody wore their face covered, then you don't have to wear their face covered. And if not, it's like an erva. But in countries where they don't, then you don't have to. And in places where, even in countries where they do, if you're living in an area where people are more well behaved and they're dressed more modest, then you don't have to go to the extremes. And I think this is such an important rule that people do not differentiate between absolute sneers and relative sneers, and this is what's driving a lot of people crazy. But anyway, let's continue. Shaiva wax. How much wax should you carry on Shabbos? Kedelitin al pinek of cotton. How much wax should you carry on Shabbos? Enough to cover a small hole, a hole of what? A lid covering what? Tana kedelitin al pinek of cotton, a wine barrel. Okay. Deve glue kedelitin bereisha shavshav, to put on top of a board. What's this board? Tana kedelitin bereisha shavshav shebereish kodesh shol tzaydin. That they used to have a little piece of wood on the end of this reed or the stick, and they would put glue there. The interesting, they had put glue there, and the birds would come to settle on it, and they would get stuck with the glue, and that's how they caught birds. It sounds pretty cruel, but that's how they did it. It says the Gemara Charosis. It says in the Mishnah when it comes to clay. So we said in the Mishnah that the Tanakhama says clay is enough to cover this crucible for those who would melt down gold, and they would make this, you know, cover, and then they would make a hole in it and cover that hole. So a small amount. And Rabbi Yehuda says enough to make a tripod. Knows Rabbi Yehuda holds you need a larger amount before you chayav a Shabbos. So he's being mekel, holds a large amount. The memra seems from here the shiuda that Rabbi Yehuda nafish making a tripod is a lot larger than covering a little hole in on top of the lid of this crucible. Kaimelam l'chayda, we have a rule the shiuda that Rabbanu nafish, that generally the Rabbanu are the ones are lenient. They make larger shiuda. How do I know that? It's now we learned. Previously we learned, Rabbi Yehuda says, what's the size of this reed? In this very same Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda, we had over there, you know, this reed, we said, you know, to hang around a sieve. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, for a person, he would measure the size of his son's foot, and then he would take it and show, this is what I need, which is much smaller than, the, you know, putting it through the handle of a sieve and carrying it. So, Rabbi Yehuda is the one who's always, Rabbi Yehuda is the one who's machmi, he has smaller shiurim. Rabbi Yehuda, you're right. You know what it means over here? Doesn't mean to make a whole tripod. Or make an entire tripod, you need a lot more clay. Kedei losud pitput kidiktan. If you have a few cracks in the tripod, you have to fill them, you put a little bit of clay. And this is far less than the amount of Chachamim say. Okay, next page. We learn, Hamoitzi seer, we learn if somebody carries out we're talking about hair, that they always used to blend the hair into the cement. They said, in the mixture of the cement, they used to put hair as well. Someone makes it thicker or something. Hamoitzi seer, the rabbi, the kid, if you take out hair in order to knead the tit and to make it better, to improve the cement, is pikur, shot surface of. So how much is it? Again, is enough to make this filling to cover the lid of this crucible that they use to melt gold, which is a bit larger than we had last time for mercury. And they put the bellows inside and so on, so they fit in perfectly. So that's the amount. Seed, how much lime could they lose? We said in the Mishnah, how much lime should you, is it forbidden? So we said, in order to smear on the smallest limb of a girl. And Rabbi Yehuda says Kalkul, and Nechemi says Undefi, which we have to explain what Kalkul Undefi is. We explained last time it's a temple of the forehead, we'll soon see. Says the Gemara, what's the idea of this lime? Why would you put lime on anybody's limbs? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, Rabbi Yehuda's name Rav, Bnois Yisrael, girl, Shegila, Pirka, and they reach maturity, Vlagila, Shani, but they reach maturity way before their years. And so therefore they have hair in places that they don't want. So b'nei saniyim, so the girls are poor, so all the girls want to take the hair off, but those who can afford better things or the worse things. So b'nei saniyim, the poor girls, teiflis eis and besid. Teisus, Rashi learns that it has to do with removing hair. Teisus says that it has nothing to do with removing hair, it has to do because we'll see that they should put it over the entire body. Why in the world would a young girl put it over her entire body? So Teisus says it's only to make their body glisten, to give it that healthy looking look. And you know, they're already looking at Shidduchim, so therefore they want to look better. So therefore, as we'll soon see a story in the Gemara. So they used to put on the sid. So they used to put on the sid lime, I guess, which is pretty painful. Benois Hashirim, those who were wealthier, Teiflis and Besailis, they would use fine flour to remove all the hair. And Benois Malachim and the royal family, Teiflis, they would use it B'Shem and Hamor. And he sees this memorial. Shenemar says, Shisha Chadosh Shem Amor, by Esther. My Shem Amor, Abu Dabach Yom Setachas, which is that Shem Amor, which is more oil. And Abu Yom Rabba Amar, Shem and Zayis, it's olive oil, Shlehevia Shlish, that's less than a third ready. Tanya, Rabbi Yudah says, Anfiknan, what's this? Anfiknan, Anfiknan is, it says you don't bring, Anfiknan, use it for the minch and so on. That's talking about Shem Azayish Leviya Shlish. Anfiknan is olive oil that was not a third ready. So why do they use it to smear themselves? Shemeshir es asir, that they remove the hair. Uma'aden habasar, it removes the hair and ma'aden es habasar, and it also makes the body, you know, look healthy and glisten. So you want to tell the story. Rabibi Havale Barta. Rabibi had a daughter. Tafla Avid. He started to put this lime on one limb at a time. Now, why one limb at a time is because if you do it over the entire body in one time, the body can't breathe and she can pass away. So he did one limb at a time, and then it dried, then he went to the next limb. So, and Shokalbod Dalam Mezuzi, because she now looks so healthy that he was able to secure for her a nadin of 400 zuz. And the only reason why she was able to secure that is because she looked so healthy and she looked so pretty. There was a goy, Bishvivoy says, a goy who lived in his neighborhood. Havale Barta, he also had a daughter, and he heard that what happened to the Bibi's daughter, he got such a nice nadin, he thought, oh, I'll do the same thing to my daughter. She'll also have a nice nadin. Tafla Bechadzim, he didn't know that you have to do one limb at a time, so he put lime over the entire body. The mason, and she died. Omar, he went around screaming, Kotla Rabibi Labarti, Rabibi killed my daughter. Omar Nachman, Rabibi Deshasi Shikra, Rabibi used to drink a lot of beer himself. His boy in Bonse Tfela, his daughter grew a lot of hair because he had a lot of beer and therefore she had a lot of hair. Anan, the Loisha Sinashikra, but we, Anachman says, that we don't drink beer. Loi boy in Bonse Tfela, our daughters don't need to take all these extra measures. They're pretty without it and they don't have they're not so hairy. Rabbi Yudah says, Kedei Loset Kalkul. Rabbi Yudah says, you know what it is? It's for a kalkul. What's a kalkul? My kalkul and my andifi. What's kalkul and what's andifi? It's two different things, right? One Tana says kalkul, And Allah says, Andifi, what in the world are these things? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Sida Basida. One is the temple and one is the part beneath the temple. So the Yudah holds that the size of the temple, which is a larger amount, and the last Tana holds it's the size that's underneath the temple. If a few more hairs grow, Rav Nechemiah, so over there also. It seems to me Rabbi Yehuda's share is greater than Rabbi Nechemiah, because he's saying that the entire temple area, you need more seed than just for the part underneath the temple. And yet, we said before that the Rashi Rabban is greater. Rabbi Yehuda always machmi, he has smaller share him. Says him, but you're right. Zutim the Rabban, his share is smaller than the Rabbanon. And because they say to cover a full aver in all size, and he's saying just the side of the temples. Oh, but Venofim, no Nechemiah. Nechemiah is even less than him, even more Machma, just the little piece underneath the temple. Basically, I ask a question. Omar Rebbe says, Nivrin the Nidin, he Rebbe Huda, I like the words Rebbe Huda, which is what? To put lime on kalkol, besid, chobud, in seed that's very, it's very watery, full of water. So that is made to put onto the side of the temple. How we should then, if you're carrying that, then what's the shear? The shear is what, like Rabbi Huda said, the side of the temple. But I like the words of Nechemiah that he says the mount is for the andifi, if what? If kibayas asid, that if you only put a little bit of water there and it has these layers, it looks like eggs, and that's called andifi. Now, that's a comment he made. Now, what does that mean? It says the Gemara, if you think that andifi is what, the side less than the temple, is the side beneath the temple. If you can tell me that we're talking about the temple, the part below the temple, they both made the same material. Rebbe made it sound like that Nechemiah's shear is for something else, not for the temple, because he said it's not made with a lot of water, it's made with a little bit of water, and it's made in pieces. This is not the way, if it's for the temple or the part underneath the temple, they made the exact same way, same formula. So obviously, andifi is something else. What is andifi? What's this lime that you use for andifi? We know now what kalkul is, but we don't know what andifi is. Says the Gemara, Elam Yitzchak, Amri Rabami Andifa. He's talking about you have a big earthenware, a big jug, and then it has two spouts, and one is on top and one is on the bottom. Now, the problem is, if you're going to fill up this barrel, it's going to leak out from the bottom spout. So, what you do is you seal it up, and you seal it up with this Andifi. And the word Andifi is like two piers. Piers are openings, it has two spouts. Masker of Kanasin, it doesn't make sense. You think anybody can put wine in a barrel that has a spout on the bottom, even if you put a little bit of lime on it, it's still going to leak out eventually, slowly, and you're going to lose what? People throw the money away, just a hefker. That's not what it is. That's not an anpada is. Elo Rav Kana, Shnosses. If you remember, we learned in Ramanachas, they used to have these measuring cups, and they used to write on the measuring cup, and there used to be a line there saying, this is by how many, hin you need it for the oil, for the different animals you brought. Remember, it's a par, or a kevis or an ayo. So I'm going to, because now we learn, shnosses hayibihin, they had these markings on the hin, ad kan lapar, until here is for a par, which is, half a hin, which is three lug. Ad kan laayo, and here's an, there was a half a hin, and here's an ayo, which is a third of the hin, and ad kan la kevis, which is a revis. Right, so so therefore, that's what it was. These lines, we buy say the man different. That was made out of lime, so that would had much less water and it was thicker. And that's what Rebbe was saying. I like his words when it comes to that. That's what you're carrying on Shabbos, if that's your purpose. We buy say the man different. Apusa means your forehead. Who really had hair growing on their forehead? But I guess there it wasn't for removing hair. There was more to look, glistening. Everybody sees the forehead and it looks like you're so well fed and looks so healthy. The Gemara tells a story about a guy from Galil, the Ikla Bavel. So he once happened to travel to Bavel, the Omnulay, and people said to him, obviously he was a big Talmud Chacham, they said to him, Kum Doresh Lonu B'Maisa Mekava. You know the secrets of the Torah, the Zohar, and all that. Teach us the Maisa Mekava that Yecheskel saw. He asked him. Now we learned in Gemara Chagiga, that you're now a Darshan Maisa Mekava at all in public. Amalahu, he said to them, Edris Lahu Kidorajam Nechemia Lechavri, I am prepared to dash him like Nechemia dashed to his friend, and I'm, sit down, I'll do it. All of a sudden, the Nafka, it popped out of the wall, Arita. popped out of the wall a wasp or a bee, mean kaiser from the wall, umachte be'andife, and bit him on his andife. So we know now that andife is part of his body, which is most exposed, and that's the forehead. The misen he died. The omrule and the chachamim said to him, mindilei dolei. His friend said he brought it upon himself. He shouldn't have dashed mice in a cover in public. Now, obviously, it wasn't the people who asked him, because they're the ones who asked him. Must be, you know, his peers back in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, we continue now. Says the Gemara, Adoma, red earth. How much are you not allowed to carry on Shabbos? Kechaisim hamatzufin. They used to have sacks made out of large pieces of wood on the ship that they used to carry all their wares and everything else, and they used to seal it, make sure, you know, it's waterproof. So they used to use this earth to, and that's the amount of red earth that you're not allowed to carry. No, much smaller amount. When they used to seal a letter, they didn't want anyone to read, they used to seal it with wax. They used to seal it with this kind of earth. And that's what it was. That's the amount you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. Zevel, you have a fertilizer or thin sand, enough to fertilize, you know, one stalk of cabbage, one stalk of leek. I'm not sure what the difference of sizes. It's a little smaller, as she says, than a cabbage. That's about it. Okay. Choy lagasi, you have thick sand. Kidei litein al mole kafsid. If you have thick sand, it's to put on your hand a handful of the lime mixed with the sand. Koner, if you have something made out of reeds, kidei lasas kulmus. If you have made out of reed, it's the amount you need to make a quill. Vima your other, if it's very thick. Oy merus is full of cracks. So therefore, you can't really use it for a quill. It's kidei lavashel boy beyakala. So it's large enough then that you can put inside there an egg to cook. Kala shebebein. That the easiest egg to cook, we'll see more later what's the easiest egg. We'll have a discussion whether it's a bird or whatever it is. We'll see. Trufa scrambled, vinasunabilfa, and then placed inside an oven. And that's the size of a kana, if it's thick and has no other purpose. Says the Gemara, al mole kaf seed. Kana we learned, kidei litin al pikaf shel sayodin. To place on the hand of those who put plaster. Man tana de chel mal lesid. So what do we learn from here? We seem to be learning from here that adding sand to seed is a good thing. Right? It says here that thick sand is used, the amount that you'll use to add it to lime. In other words, it's beneficial to add sand to lime. And who said it's good? What's the problem? Who said it's no good? Because we learned in the end of Sayyid all these things that you're not allowed to do as a result of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And it says over there, it says, we learned, a person should not use lime for, the house with lime, unless you mixed it with straw and sand, because that ruins the lime, because lime is very white, very bright. We don't want a very bright, white house. So therefore, by putting in the straw, by putting in sand, it darkens it, it's off-white, and therefore it's all right. So what does he claim from here? That adding sand ruins the seed. And yet our Mishnah says that how much sand should you carry in Shabbos, the amount that you'll add to the seed. Rabbi Yehuda says, Tevim mut, Rabbi Yehuda says, straw you're allowed to, abuchoyl aser. You're not allowed to put sand, neshu trachsid. You're not allowed to put sand in because it makes it stronger. In other words, he's saying here that you're saying, you allow him put the seed, you know, Tevin Achoyal ruins it. He's saying that Tevin Taka ruins it, but Achoyal doesn't ruin it. Why doesn't Achoyal ruin it? Because Achoyal makes it stronger. So our Mishnah must be following this opinion. The opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that says that the sand is a good thing for seed. Robert said, Rabbanan, Kilkula is out to Kune. He said, Fakat, because you're telling me the only way you can use seed in your house is by adding Achoyal because it ruins it. So therefore, that's why he's carrying it, because if he wants white, even though it's not bright white, it's the only way you can do it, by adding seeds, by adding choyl, therefore you're allowed to. Kone, kidei lasa tikuna, kone, kidei lasa, kul make a quill, tana kulmas, hamagia le kishes boisa, what size quill that has to reach your knuckles? Which one? Boilavashi, kesha elyon, the knuckles that connect your fingers to your palm, or kesha tachno, the knuckles right in the middle of your fingers. Teku, not sure. We learned trufa b'shemen, an egg that is mixed, that is scrambled with oil, when a suna b'ilfa is then placed inside an oven. The Mishnah says a beya kala, a beya that cooks very quickly. Bishmilach beya kala maye. Did you hear what exactly is this beya kala? What kind of bird? What kind of egg is that? Amla, he said, be Yesusa the tziltzla, a very small bird, a tiny bird called a tziltzla, and that and their eggs. That's what we're talking about over here. My timer, Mishum the Sutra. If you're talking, if the vart is because you're looking for a small kosher bird and therefore that's the egg, then it's even a small bird. Eimot Siparta. Maybe even a pigeon, something smaller. Ishtik, he was quiet. Amla Midishmila Baha, maybe you heard something on it. Amla Hachim of Sheshis. Bey is tiny girl. We're talking about literally an egg of a hen. Nu my karle bey kala. So why is it called a light egg? Shiru chachamim. Chachamim assessed ein lach bey kala levasha yosim bey tiny girlis. There's nothing that cooks quicker than the egg of a hen. Says the Gemara. Maishna. Why is it that kol shiuri shabbos kigregus? Why is it that all the shiuri shabbos are the size of a dried fig when it comes to food? And we said regarding carrying, regarding harvesting, grinding, everything is always kigregus. And yet when it comes to an egg, over here we say the size of an egg. Over here you say when it comes to a conus, it's the size of an egg. Amalei hachem ranachmin, Ranachmin said, when it says here that it has to be the size of cooking a light egg, an egg, it doesn't mean a full egg. It means kigregus lebeikala. The size that you can, an egg that's the size of a dried fig. So it's not a full egg, it's maybe a part of an egg, but the size of a dried fig, because an egg, a beya is larger. We'll have in the Gemara Yuma a discussion of what's greater, you know, these things, and we'll see that an egg is larger than a gregus. So we don't need a full egg, we need a part of it, the size of a gregus, but a wood that can take that egg that you scramble, and you can cook it the size of a gregus, and a beya kala, so you need less of it. Okay, that ends the Gemara of...